God. May the Lord bless you in this final week of the year. Some of you have times with your families. May you know the Lord's blessing. Some of you may be in the workplace. May you know the Lord's help there. But as this year draws to conclusion, let's focus on the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. Lord willing, next Lord's Day morning, we'll look at those words. For to me to live is Christ. Let's live for Christ at the end of this year. He's the source of our life. He's the object of our life. And he will be the end of our life. Let's live for him. Do you remember the calendars going forth this week into those places where there are the Chinese and the Romanians as well? Do you pray for that? Do you pray for the calendars going into the prisons at this time? And while we're thinking of that, do you remember the meeting coming up in a few weeks' time of the Trinitarian Bible Society? Do you pray for that? We're thankful for what the Lord has done over this past year. And we're thankful for what the Lord has done in the world as well. It's a great encouragement to hear of more translation projects last Monday. And just to think that through these translation projects, in a year or two's time, more people in this world, in North India, will read of the Saviour for the very first time. So do remember that. And then just remember, as John said earlier, we have a midweek meeting next, not this week, but the following week. And it will be the Reverend Malcolm Watts from Salisbury. He normally takes the first one of the year. Do remember that meeting, and we pray the Lord's blessing, that the Lord would hear the prayers of his people, not only here, but in the other congregations that gather in this area and up and down the land, that the Lord would remember his cause. We think much of the situation in Israel at this time. Let's pray for the Jews at the end of this year. Let's pray that many would turn unto the Saviour. The promises are there. Pray in light of the promises. The Lord will save many Jews. Maybe next year. And may then many others around the world come to faith in Christ. Well, let's turn then to Matthew 25, and we'll read verses 31 and verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 31 and verse 34. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Dear congregation, on the great day to come, at the end of the judgment, there will be sentences pronounced. Announced by the Lord, the Saviour, who was appointed to judge. For unbelievers on that day, there will be some most solemn words. And as we just read these solemn words, I pray there's no one here or listening online who will hear these words on that great day. Just notice verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me. He cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What solemn words will be said to those who die in their sins or who are alive at the coming of the Lord. But in contrast, there is the sentence for believers on that great day, those who are looking unto him and who have love in their hearts. And the sentence, in contrast to the other sentence, will bring great joy and amazement. We read these things tonight, but let me tell you, you who love the Lord, you will be lost in wonder. And joy will so arise in your soul when you hear the King, the blessed Saviour, say these words. Notice verse 34. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come, Now in the Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ says, come, Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, O ye that are labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, labouring in sin, with a heavy laden, your sins are charged. Come, and I will give you rest. We can consider further to the believer, you come in times of trial. To his beloved people, he says, as he delights in their fellowship and has a desire to watch them. John 21, verse 12, come and dine. Come unto me in the gospel. In the believer's life, there's further times to go and rest in him, but also for fellowship. John 21, verse 12, come and dine. To his people, when they are weary, the Lord again says, come. Mark 6, verse 31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much to eat as to eat. So again, the Lord is so gracious, isn't he? He speaks to his people, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. He knew the needs of the disciples, and he knows our needs. So again, he says, come. Come unto me in the gospel. Come and dine for fellowship. Come and rest on that great day. He will say to them that love him, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come. Now before these sentences will be pronounced, he will return in a most amazing way. And in verse 31, we consider the second coming of the Lord, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now the brethren at Thessalonica, they were mindful of the coming of the Lord. And they had this testimony, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. They were waiting, having looked unto him. Are you waiting? Are you looking? Now the Lord Jesus Christ said to his troubled disciples in the upper room, in seeking to comfort them, you remember they were fearful. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I will come again. And what a thought that is. You're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ one day. And he's going to come in his glory. And every eye shall see him. In view of his coming, can you say, make haste, my beloved, as we see at the end of the Song of Solomon. What a thought, he's coming. Now he came the first time in order to save. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came in obedience to the Father, and delighted in obeying, as we see in Psalm 40 and verse 8. He accomplished redemption. He presented himself in perfect conformity to the law. He kept the law perfectly. And then he suffered the penalty for the broken law in the place of others. And that included him going all the way to the cross and shedding his precious blood. You recall on the cross, just in view of the work that was nearly completed, he cried out, John 19, verse 30, it is finished. Well, having accomplished the work that was given to him, he rose victoriously from the grave. And then after 40 days, he ascended up on high into heaven. He went up. We read in Psalm 47, verse 5, God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. He went up, and he was received into heaven. And he sat down on the throne, and that's where he is now. Sitting on the throne, except when he stands, Acts 7, to welcome a believer like Stephen into heaven. Well, there he is. He's on the throne. What did the apostle say in Hebrews 1 verse 3? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And that's where he is tonight. If you were to go home to heaven tonight, there you would see the King upon the throne. And there he will be until the appointed time when he will return. And what do we read here in verse 31? When, it's certain, isn't it? When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Are you ready? Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's coming. Are you ready? Well, in view of his return, we're to be living for him. We're to be focused on him. He is our life, as we see in Colossians chapter 3. If ye be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above, for Christ is our life. Do not we find ourselves again and again having our hearts drawn towards heaven? Because that's where the Lord Jesus Christ is, but he's also in our hearts, isn't he? Living for him in light of his return. Well, on that day, there will be the gracious sentence given, and the Lord's people will hear it. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well, for the remainder of the time tonight, I'd like us to consider two things. First of all, the return of the Son of Man, verse 31. And then secondly, from verse 34, the sentence of the King. The return of the Son of Man and the sentence of the King. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. What a day that will be. He will come in his glory, the King. For what do we read in verse 34? Then should the King say unto them on his right hand, the Lord Jesus Christ is King. He was designated in eternity to be King, proclaimed King here upon earth, crowned when he sat down after his ascension. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords now. He has the rule, he has the authority. He is King over all as God, and as mediator, he is King over the church. When we think of mediator, he is prophet, priest, and King. Have you bowed the knee to the King? And are we bowing the knee to the King in all things? You recall those words in Philippians 2 verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Have you bowed the knee to King Jesus? What a blessing if we have bowed the knee. You remember those words in Psalm 110 verse 3? Thy people shall be willing. By nature, men are not willing. You can meet people, and you seek to live your life in front of them in view of Jesus, and you seek to tell them of Jesus, but they do not bow the knee. Have you bowed the knee? Men by nature do not bow the knee, but grace makes one willing. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. Have you been humbled by grace? Are you found at the feet of Jesus? And are you going there again and again from another perspective, submitting all to him? Eric Liddell, near the end of his life, said to her friend, it's surrender, or it's all surrender. There's different stories. Basically, he made known to his friend at the end of his life, there in that camp, he was surrendering all to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was bowing to King Jesus in that situation. What a testimony. In a prisoner of war camp, he was bowing the knee to King Jesus. Now, we're not in such a camp, are we? We know there are certain ones in this world, in North Korea, Eritrea. They're in such hard labor camps. But we're not. But are you bowing the knee to King Jesus? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. But one day he is coming, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. We have this word glory. A number of years ago, I opened an obituary. I didn't know who the author was. I know him a little more now. John Brown of Haddington. I opened a dictionary and I came across this word glory. It was a Bible dictionary. And he knew the Hebrew well and Greek and many other languages. He learnt them. Well, he gives an interpretation, and it's the right one from the Hebrew. Glory. It speaks of the shining of his excellencies. The shining of his excellencies. And on that day, men will be taken with the holiness of God, with the holiness of Christ, with his righteousness. We've sung of that, haven't we? In Psalm number 98. Men will also be taken with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What grace towards the people of God. What love, what favor. The shining of his excellencies when he shall come in his glory. Well, let's just open this up. First of all, the truth of it. What do we read in verse 31? When. Just that one word, when. It's not if. It's when. And just pause on that. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And you're all going to see him. I'm going to see him. When? We think of the truth of it. Remember what the Lord said in the upper room? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. If you're not a Christian here tonight, why are you not believing the truth of what Jesus said? It's true. He speaks the truth. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He did no sin with his hand, and he did no sin with his lips. Every word from his lips is true. Every word of warning. And have we not warning in this chapter? Dear unconverted friend, if you stay an unconverted person, you will hear what we read here in verse 41, depart from me. It's the truth. Remember this, Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me. What a contrast. And we who love the Lord, are we not thankful for grace that drew us, grace that saved us? We went unto Jesus, and we will not hear those words, depart from me. But it's true, isn't it? These words of warning, every word of rebuke. When the Lord rebukes us, it's true. And we're to submit and receive it. Every word of comfort, every word of instruction. Oh, listen then to the Lord Jesus. When the Son of Man shall come. The abundant truth here. When? That tells us he is coming for sure. And then we read, shall come. You see, the Lord is so impressing it upon the hearers. And through his word tonight, he's impressing it upon you and me. He's coming. You're going to see him. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you're ready. Why? Because of his precious blood that was shed here upon earth. And through grace, you believed in him. He's coming. Many acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time. We know that. Many have what we call an historical faith. That is a bare assent to the truth and acknowledge in the word. There are many people who believe that the Lord came into this world, was born at Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, went around doing good. There's many people believe that, but they're not believing in Jesus. Do you understand that? There are those who believe certain things of the Bible, but they have not saving faith. They're not looking unto Jesus. And that's a concern, isn't it? There are many who believe these things, but they're not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. For many years of my life, I believed what the Bible said, but I wasn't believing in Jesus until he drew near and spoke unto me. Is there someone here, you believe the Bible is true, you believe that Jesus did certain things, but you're still not believing in the Son of God with all your heart? Many believe, even he died on the cross, but still they do not believe in him. What a thought that is. I've met people. They believe that Jesus went to the cross, shed his precious blood, but they're still not believing in Jesus. You think of what our Lord said to a certain one, thou art not far from the kingdom. Not far, but he wasn't in the kingdom. And there are those who believe certain things that Jesus did, but they're not believing in Jesus. Many people believe that he came. But out of that group who are not believing Jesus, there's very few who believe that he's coming again. But he is. He will return. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. I will come again when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. You may receive a letter. I enjoy receiving handwritten letters. They're precious, aren't they? Today it's all WhatsApp messages or other things. What a thing to get a handwritten letter. And the other week I received a handwritten letter, and I didn't know that the gentleman wrote like that. It was lovely writing. I never knew that before. Well, you may receive a handwritten letter and you take hold of it and you read it and you may pass it over to your spouse or a friend and you point out that's what the person is saying. My grandfather used to do that with me. He would take a letter. Aaron, that's what that person was saying. Can you see it? Do you see it here? In the Word of God. What Jesus himself said. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Therefore, just think, he's coming one day. And he will come in his glory. And every eye shall see him. You think of the truth of it. Secondly, Jesus himself will return. The Saviour, the great King, the Shepherd, the Judge will return. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, he will personally come. It will not be a vision. Jesus himself will come and will be seen. Let me underline this again. You are all going to see Jesus on that great day. I am so thankful that when I see him on that great day, I will recognize the face of a friend. How could I face that day knowing he's going to judge all if it was not him who is my friend? What a comfort that is, that the judge is your friend, dear child of God. And you will see him. John Brown writes, Christ's own personal appearance. And so John writes in 1 John 3 verse 2, Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now that's amazing, isn't it? There's going to be a likeness to Christ in our resurrected bodies. Oh, to be more like him in our souls here below. When we die, our souls will be made perfect, and there will be a greater likeness to Christ. But then on that great day, there will be a likeness to Christ in our bodies. I leave it there. What a blessing if you will find out what that's going to be like on that great day. But consider this, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. I'm so thankful. I'm going to be a little like Jesus when he appears. He's coming. You think of the certainty, and he himself will return. Remember those words in Revelation 1 verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. God is a God of great power. Every eye will be caused to turn and see the Saviour. Don't get caught up with trying how to work that out. Just rest on the power of God. He will cause everyone to see the King. And what a blessing to be a child of God. Remember those words of Job? In Job 19 verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And with eyes of flesh, I will see God. What precious words. We're going to see God, the Lord Jesus Christ, with eyes of flesh. What a day, what a prospect. For the believer, at death they will go to be with Christ and they will see him with the eyes of their mind. We're given a little insight into that at the Transfiguration. And also the words of the Apostle Paul, to die is gain, to be with Christ. And there's singing in heaven, isn't there? Revelation chapter 5, we will see him with the eyes of the mind. And you will admire his beauty. But on that great day, with eyes of flesh, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and though after my skin the worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. What a prospect. I will see him. There will be the judgment on that day. John 12, verse 48, listen to the Lord Jesus. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day, the great judgment. There will be the judgment. Unbelievers who never went to church will be judged. Hypocrites who went to church will be judged. But then all shall be judged, as the Apostle Paul, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What a judgment it will be. But for you, dear child of God, it will not be a judgment of condemnation. It will be a judgment for the glory of Christ. People will know that I and you were sinners. But they will be taken back. What a Saviour who died for them and they believed in him. What a day of judgment it will be. Well, there will come the separation. And that's what we have here in verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. There will be the separation. There will be the judgment on that great day. He will come. He will come himself and all will see him. And what a thought. When all will stand before him and will look at the judge on that day. Fourthly, he will come in a most exalted manner. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, the glorious appearing of the Son of Man. What majesty he will be clothed with. What excellency will shine forth. His glory. And as we think of this further, it will be in a mighty way. Matthew 24 verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we thought earlier in Psalm 47, God is gone up with a shout and the sound of a trumpet. Consider when he comes again. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's interesting, isn't it? The opposites. When he went up, Psalm 47. When he will come down. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. With a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What power will be displayed on that day? You read through 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 1 Thessalonians 4, you'll consider there he will come in the clouds. There will be fire, as we see in Psalm 50. He will be attended by angelic hosts. He will descend with a shout. There will be the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. The graves will open. There will be great awe instilled into the hearts of men on that great day. The King has come. What a day. The glory of the King, the power of the King will be with it. Now when he came the first time, he was born in an obscure place, laid in a manger, a place where animals were fed and sheltered, clothed in mean swaddling clothes. He knew poverty. We think of the low condition. You think he had to work so hard at Lazarus, in Nazareth. He knew what it was to be weary. Not many in the world knew him. But on the great day to come, what a contrast. What majesty, what glory will surround him, and what power will be displayed before him when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. He's coming. And let us who love him make this known. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming to this lower world. Oh, think of him and his glorious return. Are you waiting? Remember again the testimony of the brethren at Thessalonica to wait for his Son from heaven. To wait. Now we need to live in this world. There are some people who are so taken up with the second coming, they don't get on living for Christ in this world. We need to live for Christ in this world, but we need to be often thinking of his return. And what an aid to living in for Christ, isn't it? To think that one day I may soon see him in heaven, or he will return. What an aid to holiness. What an aid to walking in this world, to be heavenly minded. And what a comfort to consider he's coming again. Just listen to Jesus. I will come again. My Saviour is coming. My friend is coming. My King is coming. My beloved friend. Is he the beloved friend to you? What do we read in Song of Solomon 8, verse 14? In view of the second coming of the Lord, make haste, my beloved. You look forward to seeing a loved one. Maybe your husband has been away on business and you look forward to seeing him coming and coming home. Maybe the wife has been out and you look forward to seeing the wife come, or a friend, a beloved friend, you look forward to them coming. You want to see them. How I love to see my children. How I love to see my wife. I want to see them. I remember waiting for my grandparents at times. Where are they? I loved them and I wanted to see them. Make haste, my beloved. Can you say that to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he the beloved of your soul? Can you say to Jesus, I love thee, Lord Jesus. Make haste. come again. Do you love the Lord? The Lord's people who love him have this longing. Make haste, my beloved. Do you love him? Do you tell him that you love him? Do others know in your families, in the workplace, that you love him? You know, people can get to know that you love him by the things you don't say. People recognize something in me before I ever told them about Jesus by the things I didn't say. You know, we stand out, don't we, in the workplace. You think of all the filthy language, all the blasphemy. The Christian stands out very quickly today. And they will get to know. Do people know that we love Jesus? A number of years ago, there was a funeral on the other side of the New Forest. Over 200 gathered, including my wife's grandparents and other farmers around this part of the world. My grandfather sat near the front, and our husband's coffin was just in front of her. And there were 6 children either side of him. And she chose these words, and with tears running down her face, she sang this: I love thee because thou hast first loved me, and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Do you love him? Do you love him tonight more than you've ever loved him in your life? As this year draws to conclusion, can you say, through all the experiences you've passed through, I love thee more than ever, Lord Jesus, and I long for thy return. The more we love Jesus, the more we long to see him. The more we desire to be with him in a spiritual way here upon earth. And the more we desire to be with him in heaven. And we desire him to come again. Make haste, my beloved. You know, when you love someone, what do? You don't forget them, do you? You think of them. When you're away from home, maybe on business, and you think of your spouse. Why do you think of your spouse? Because you love them. You love Jesus, do you not? So you think of him. And what a blessing to think of Jesus. You love him. Do you not want to be with him? Do you not want him to come again? Ah, yes, many Jews yet will be saved. And what will that be to the world, as the apostle made plain in Romans 11. But we still say, make haste, my beloved. What a prospect for the believer. We're thinking of the day when the Lord returns and the judgment. And what a judgment it will be. Everything will be judged about you and me. But we can still say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Come quickly, I long to see thee, because I love thee. At the end of this year, are you longing to see the Lord come again? Make haste, my beloved. We must close with the sentence of the king. And we're just in closing, notice verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father. I am so thankful. I'm going to be on the right hand of Jesus. Do you all know that? Do you all know you're going to be on the right hand? How can you know? Well, Jesus says, come unto me. Have you gone? Are you believing? If you're believing, you know you will be on the right hand. Numbered amongst the sheep. Now in this prophecy we have a parable-like characteristics therein. We have the separation of the sheep and the goats. That was commonplace in Israel. There was separation. Now in the field opposite, years ago, there used to be a flock of sheep. You used to wake up in the morning and you see the sheep out in the field. On the other side of the forest, there was a herd of goats. I know that because many of us children after school used to go to the ice cream van in Totten, and these two elderly ladies served us ice creams, that is in the summer. I wasn't over keen on them, but I wanted an ice cream, and they were very cheap, just 15p, and they were made from goat's milk. I wasn't over keen, but there you go. There was a herd of goats on the other side of the forest near Wellow, and there was a herd of sheep in the field out here. The sheep and the goats. Well, on the great day, there comes the separation. There's the sheep and the goats. Who are the sheep? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They hear the voice of the shepherd, and they follow him. Who are the goats? Well, we can say, first of all, in light of this chapter, unbelievers as a whole, but then hypocrites. Hypocrites who were found in the visible church. They're numbered amongst the goats if they die in their sins. We've already considered tonight the solemn sentence that will be said unto all unbelievers, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What words. How we ought to be so thankful. Are you thankful? You're not going to hear those words. Let's show our thankfulness to Jesus by living more for Jesus in light of this. Why do we ever sin? When we just consider these words, we're not going to hear these words, depart from me. Why do we ever sin? Why do we ever murmur? Why do we ever think anything wrong? When we consider what grace will be shown to us and we will not hear those words. Let's be thankful. Can you be thankful tonight? You're not going to hear these words because of Jesus, your Saviour. Are you thankful you're going to hear a gracious sentence? And with this I close. Verse 34. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Come, says the Lord. Come, ye blessed of my Father. You're blessed. And have we not been blessed by the Father, distinguished by his favour, chosen by grace, redeemed by his Son, justified, accepted in the family? What a gracious act of adoption to be in the family. And we cry, Abba, Father, have you not been blessed by the Father? And what a Father he is, he pities. He pitieth his children. He has such tender compassion. What a Father. He provides all your needs. He rebukes. Are we not blessed by the Father for being rebuked? We are, aren't we? We're kept, we're preserved. How blessed we are. Blessed by the Father. And it's amazing, isn't it? Come, ye blessed of my Father. And on that great day, it will be known that we were blessed again and again by the Father. We could say also by the Son and by the Spirit, but the focus here on the Father. How many times we have been blessed. And it will be said to us, blessed by the Father, come. You come into the eternal state when heaven and earth will be one. Revelation 21. Come. There's the intermediate state of heaven. We will go to be with Christ if we die first. But on that great day, heaven and earth will be one. And the throne of God in the midst. And there will be the call, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What an inheritance! I've never been inside Buckingham Palace. One day I will be in a place that is far superior, and it will belong to me and you, dear child of God. Why? Because of the grace of God and the precious blood of Jesus. What an inheritance. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come, that's grace. Blessed of my Father, that's grace. inherit the kingdom. That's grace, isn't it? Prepared for you. That's grace. Come. Through grace we went unto Jesus in the gospel. Through the Lord's strength, when we were weary, we went unto him for rest. We went and we enjoyed his fellowship, come and dine on the great day. Come, Christ will say again. The King will welcome us into the heavenly world. Such royal splendour, what riches will be known in that place. A real place. I remember, as a boy at a midweek meeting, hearing of heaven and the eternal state, and it was impressed upon me, it's a real place. Think of heaven now. Jesus is there. And when he ascended up into heaven, he retained his body. It's a real physical place. And then as we think of the eternal state, we will have resurrected bodies. And there we shall be. And our joys will be known. No sin, nor death, nor sorrow, or affliction will ever affect us. What happiness, what bliss. But most of all, the King will be seen in his beauty. And we will admire him. And we will never be weary or grow tired of viewing Jesus. What delight we shall know. And we will again and again give him the glory. Oh, focus, he's coming again. Yes, there is the judgment. But after the judgment for you, dear child of God, grace will be magnified again. And the Saviour will speak to you. Come. And you will enter the eternal state. And you will be forever with him. What a gracious sentence. Gracious words from the lips of Jesus. We're considering at the moment, aren't we? What words will be said? Is it going to be said to you? What a prospect. Of being with King Jesus. Forever and ever. And ever, and we shall reign forever and ever and ever. That's the reality. And why? Because a Saviour came on a mission of mercy, the only Saviour, lived here upon earth, kept the law perfectly, went all the way to the cross, because of Calvary. You're going to Emmanuel's love. And it won't be long. Just a moment from one point of view. Come, ye blessed of my Father. On that day, he will come in his glory. There will be the shining of his excellency. And there will be such an amazing word for you. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Let's focus on Jesus. Let's look to Jesus. Let's long for Jesus. As a congregation here, as a new year comes, let Jesus be the focus. And let's all do what we can to make Jesus the focus. Because I tell you this, in heaven and in Emmanuel's love, the focus will be on him. So let's make this more a heaven on earth. Until we go home and see him. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Many will think of his first coming. Look to the coming of Christ. What a day it will be. And let us be thankful in view of that day. All is well for my soul. Because of Jesus who went to the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Oh gracious God, what a day is coming when our Saviour Lord is coming again. And Lord, we can truly say, make haste my beloved. We don't love him as we ought to. We don't love him as we long to, but we do love him. Lord, we long to see Jesus. We long to admire him in heaven and in the heavenly world. How we long for that. But Lord, till then, may we admire him more, maybe live for him more, maybe think more often of him this coming week as the year draws to a conclusion. May our minds be taken up with Jesus. Oh, to think more of him. How can we thank thee enough that he came and went all the way to the cross to die for us? And we thank thee that he drew near in effectual calling and he saved us. Oh, what a saviour we have. Blessed saviour. We would say tonight from the bottom of our hearts, we love thee. We long to love thee more, but we love thee. And our desire and our promises, O Lord, if thou dost spare us to a new year, is to live for thee, Lord Jesus, like we've never lived before. Oh, for a closer walk with thee. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed. Help us to recognize more how blessed we are. Hear our prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We'll conclude by turning to our final psalm, Psalm number 96. Psalm number 96. And we're going to sing verses 8 to verse 13. And the tune is Evangel. Psalm number 96, verses 8 through to verse 13. Give ye the glory to the Lord, that to his name is due. Come ye into his courts and bring an offering with you. Notice again verse 13, similar words to Psalm 98. Before the Lord, because he comes to judge the earth, comes he. He judged the world with righteousness, the people faithfully. And as you sing that, you'll be so thankful for Jesus. He will judge faithfully in view of his precious blood. Psalm number 96, verses 8 to 13.
Give ye the glory to the Lord, that to his name is due. Come ye into his courts and bring an offering with you.
Be with you all. Amen.
Amen.